All right, we will readjourn. And if you would, please keep your comments to 3 minutes.
Might not be possible. Good evening, Planning Commission. For the record, Darren Gurney with Kitsap County DCD. I'm here before you just as a briefing effort in bringing you back to comp plan days with transfer of development rights. If you'll recall, we did adopt code with the comprehensive plan update that identified new regulations with regard to sending sites and calculation methods, and we had a resolution that we were going to adopt that established ratios based on those definitions. Transfer of development rights is, of course, it was part of a 2006 comprehensive plan effort update with a program that started that transfer of development rights program for getting your rural areas to develop less and in exchange for allowing your urban areas to grow more. It's a fairly simple concept. And the resolution is going before the board on the 22nd of May. As of right now, we are still crafting the final wordsmithing portions of that resolution, but we wanted to bring before you those the ratios and the things like that. So what you see before you right now is part of that resolution you may recognize from the comprehensive plan. This is going over our sending sites. So if you have a farming area, open space acquisition area, that table identifies the amount of rights that you can sell. And you get those in a certified format with the county. There are some maps that we have associated with that. If it works, there we go. So there's one large map over behind Steve Heacock over there. There's a couple of the maps. If we had public here to actually view those, they were available for the public to view. You'll notice the map on the left is the strategic farm plan mapping effort that has farm focus areas. This is within that exact document as Appendix E, the strategic farm plan. And those maps are broken up into smaller, more digestible map sizes. So you'll notice in these maps, you have some areas that are encapsulated by these boundaries. That's your farm focus area. So from that, I'm going to switch back to your farming areas. You get 4 development rights for 1 acre of land. In your packets, with this information, the rezone component that you see at the very top was not included yet. So transfer development rights is going to apply for rezone efforts or a site-specific comprehensive plan land use amendment. Those are the pieces that are being ironed out right now in terms of the exact language used for those. The table that you see where you go from your urban low, if you were to go from an urban low comprehensive land use designation to an urban high residential land use, you have to purchase 2 development rights. Those ratios are established based on a report that was provided to the county through Forterra. They analyzed multiple counties and their transfer and development right programs. In that report, they identified actually higher ratios that would be used. So you would actually have to purchase more rights to develop in your urban areas. As a starting point, if I can continue just a moment. As a starting point, we cut those by 50%, I believe is what I was told, to start that process and see how well those development credits are working in the future. And then because it is in a resolution format, we have the opportunity to amend those in an easier fashion than updating code. Mr. Devins.
Yes, the amendments you're referring to are site-specific amendments rather than area-wide county redesignations?
That is correct. So you have comprehensive plan land use designation, so you go from an urban high intensity to a commercial. That would be a land use if you're within an urban residential zone that is a low intensity. You have multiple zones within that, so if you're rezoning, there's still an element of the TDRs, that program that applies. So,
so just out of curiosity, if you had a commercial piece of property that can do mixed use,
mm-hmm.
and I think that allows 30 units per acre, do you have to make sure it's specific, or could you actually, if you wanted to increase that to a higher density, could you actually go and obtain transfer of development rights just to boost your density, or does it have to be specific to those items that you're showing right there?
It, to my knowledge, it's not to increase the density beyond what is allowed in the density tables. It would be strictly from changing land use designation. So you could go from the commercial, well, you wouldn't actually need from urban commercial high to, you wouldn't need the development credits, as you see there, the zeros across the board on that from and to.
Mm-hmm.
But you would not be allowed to actually increase your density beyond like the 30 units an acre that the zone allows, if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
Okay. 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 So in addition to those sending sites of the farm areas, you also had the rural wooded locations to try and preserve those areas. They had some of those credits. So we, of course, have our current version of all the rural wooded zones in a map format as part of that resolution that is moving forward. So these maps are included. That will be going before the board on the 22nd of May. Any questions beyond what's already been asked?
You can guess what I'm going to ask.
Maybe.
So how do you expect that to work when you're calculating density on gross? You're already getting that bonus because you're not deducting your critical areas to up the density in the UGA.
That would be more specific. So that the...
I'm just wondering how the plan can possibly work.
It's more for... The plan works in the fact that it goes allows for you to go from an urban low residential zone to an urban high residential zone with the purchase of a development right, certain number of development rights. So you're allowed to increase your density in that manner. It doesn't, it's not being addressed through the calculation of density.
So have you run any calculations to see what the actual densities will be if you're using a gross density?
I don't believe that's part of the...
Okay, just curious.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there's process part is being left out here. It seems to me you cannot, if I have urban low and I want to go to urban high, I can't just purchase development rights and say it's good. I have to go through a process, right?
That is correct. As part of Title 17, I believe, 17.580 is our transfer of development rights code regulations, and that identifies the process that you need to proceed with. And it includes addressing will the site that is receiving those development credits, does it have critical areas that are going to be impacted? Does it have the services necessary to sustain a density of that nature? So there is a review. And this is merely the resolution to establish those ratios.
Questions?
I promise the next one is easier in terms of the presentation. Okay. Okay. So the next item, the work study that identified agriculture code as a work study item that is somewhat misleading. This is more of an internal consistency in terms of code regulations that were occurring. An update was occurring simultaneously. So this is more of a housekeeping issue to make sure that our code is consistent internally. We adopted the ordinance for agricultural code that removed two categorical uses from each of the use tables, and that was agricultural uses as well as the temporary farm stand. So as you can see on the screen, those are our two uses that are struck out of our use tables. That is for each section, that includes the Lammerds, commercial, as well as the residential designations. The footnotes that we are referring to are footnote 7 that dealt with the animal feed areas. I'm going back to my agriculture planning commission days here. So animal feed areas and the animal density tables. Those were removed as part of that ordinance and inadvertently were reinserted into the code from a subsequent code update that occurred 2 weeks later. So this is to maintain consistency. We are removing those items in exact accordance with that original ordinance for the agricultural code. And just for reference, those are the two footnotes to which I was referring. And that is all I have for this evening.
Questions? Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So I guess we are, for the good of the order, revising the meeting start time. Is that something you wanted to comment on, or Jim?
We're talking about the general.
Yeah, so this was brought up by Louisa a couple meetings ago, mm-hmm. that you had originally perhaps wanted a 5:30 start time, and if you guys wanted to discuss that or make a decision tonight.
I believe it was before Christmas that we had gone through, talked about starting times, and then it was found out that we weren't in compliance with our own bylaws. So, you know, the discussion was pretty much, would 5:30 be more amenable to the staff and not cause any hardships on the commissioners?
Mm-hmm.
I would propose that we set the starting time at 5:30 in the evening.
Any other comments, feelings, or against?
My wife always wonders where I'm at past 8:30, so it'd be good to start early.
See, it's a good idea? Yes.
And I presume staff would not object.
Staff would not object, and we can always start filming these meetings so your wife can track you at any...
whoa.
Okay, do we need a formal motion? All right, I guess is there a motion?
I would propose that we establish a 5:30 starting time on our normal meeting days.
All right, is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor? Opposed? Just Aaron. Just kidding. All right, and then also we have the May 23rd deliberation start time. So I know we're kind of leaving that on an as-needed basis, but it sounds like you're thinking we're going to start fairly early, and this is going to be an all-day affair if necessary.
I might have said that before we went through these public hearings, but I think the testimony was lighter than expected, at least from staff's perspective. I think we have the chambers reserved at 8 o'clock, but like your previous motion, staff is more than comfortable starting at 9, or we could have a provisional start time for people's planning purposes and then make a final decision on the 16th. But we just wanted to bring that up for y'all to discuss if somebody had scheduling issues or anybody felt strongly on. I know those of you that start up north that might prefer a later start time.
Well, it's going to be up to Mr. Nevins how much information he's going to present with us.
Yes, I was going to propose 5 a.m. as a good start time. So.
We can always go later.
You got to bring donuts.
You're talking the 23rd, maybe set a proposed start time right now. That's what you're indicating. Do you want to say 9 o'clock as opposed to 8 o'clock? Okay, why don't we?
We'll plan on that then, and then okay. If we need to adjust that on May 16th based on discussions, we can do that.
Okay. All right. Okay, yes.
Well, I know we're kind of just with the Tom and amendments, but just to be efficient, is there a preferred way for those of us who are new, if we want to make an amendment, you know, bring it in writing, be ready to pass it out? What's the preferred approach?
Yeah, are we expected to be going through it like line by line, like we did with the work study, as far as like doing revisions and whatnot?
You know, I assume we'll probably take it in larger chunks, and then if we need to dissect it from there, we will. So I guess we'll probably start maybe in sections and go, and if it ends up where people are having a lot of specific items, but I certainly would say be prepared if you do have some, you know, specific modifications and verbiage you want to incorporate. So yes, please bring it.
I think last time that proved helpful, because even if we have one starting point, that at least gets everybody thinking, even if we end up modifying it, I think it saves time.
You should get your full text rewrite in the mail sometime before the deliberations. We'll have it ready for you. Joe?
Well, I know Tom has lots that he wants to get out too. If we just go through our normal notification on email and get sent that, the sooner the better, so that we have time to think about it instead of flip a coin here at the dais and make a decision.
I think that would be a violation of Open Public Meeting Act, but
correct?
Yeah, you'd be deliberating offline.
Well, if you're making comments
or proposing those comments, that all
right.
Of us to read before.
No, you can't do that. That's deliberation.
Well, I don't think it is if people aren't responding to them, if they're just being submitted.
But submitted, you're saying submitted to the clerk, not submitted.
Submitted to Tasha, not necessarily to everybody. Okay. Or if somebody inadvertently does, it's not for an online discussion back and forth over the merits or difficulties with that. So
this rule, never reply all.
Well, and never reply individually either.
Well,
in this case,
everybody.
So I would just send it to Tasha, and then we can make sure that those are all compiled, and that can help us to kind of walk through the sections. I think, Mr. Chair, you have a good suggestion. Is it will probably take big chunks. I would also think that the comments that we'll be posting on the 11th, but have replied, are really kind of going to be the guide in where you're going to want to spend most of your conversation relative to the testimony you've received on this so far, and then you may want to open it up to just kind of Planning Commission recommendations after you've kind of gone through the public comment and decided if there was a position that the commission wanted to take on that.
So I have a question. Kathleen, yeah. Are you going to put that matrix, those comments, in the sections? We've done that before where instead of they're just not chronological, but they're based on the section, so we're not pinging up and down through the list.
So one of the lists, the summary response matrix, is by topic and by section. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, that's what I meant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the summary response matrix includes that. Let's organize that.
Okay, should be fun. With a little luck, we do not need the 23rd. All right, Becky, meeting adjourned.
Hope for the best, right. Plan for the worst, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you.